Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley. Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel Sports in Depth of the show, as we bring you another segment of Sports in Depth with John Coltrane in the background. Dear Lord, you know, I think a lot of you don't understand the history of John Coltrane, who was discovered by Miles Davis, and his greatest album is considered his Love Supreme, an album dedicated solely and strictly to God. And he's considered by many to be the greatest tenor saxophonist of all time. And now we will pray to the greatest God of all. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for blessings unseen. Thank you for blessings all undeserved. But more importantly, thank you for guiding us, strengthening us, and letting us be Americans. Let us be alive and clothed our right mind. And we ask these blessings and all the blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. A boxing special here as we are moving into a very big weekend. But then again, got a chance to get one of the guys who's the heartbeat of boxing, one of the guys who make the show go, my good friend Rob. Rob, now, what is your full name?
Rob Scott.
Yeah, Robbie, how long have you been in the business of the sweet science?
About 13 years now, 13 hands-on.
And
doing different capacities, you know, I work with the different promotions, but also supervise championship fights, and you know, like I said, you know, I do a lot of things. You know the stuff that I do.
Yeah, you do everything, and you know, we just said it was amazing, and I'm looking at some things, and what caused me to prompt this 30-minute special. I was going to do some interviews too, but I don't know if you heard, they declared that WBC. Declared the contest between Hopkins and Dawson as a no contest, allowing Hopkins to regain his title. Your thoughts and feelings on that, Rob?
I guess to a certain degree. I mean, there were a lot of people who felt that the ruling was wrong, but Pat Russell, the referee, and the people that have been coming down on him. He was only doing his job, and by the rules, he did exactly the right thing. I think that the WBC came under fire, and I think that that's the reason why they declared what they declared. And it also it opens the door for another match. I just hope that when they said it was a no contest, that they ordered a rematch. You know how boxing is, where, you know, just like how Dawson said that he was not going to give Bernard another fight, Bernard actually now being champion again, he could probably do the same thing and say, well, I'm not going to fight Dawson. And I hope that that doesn't happen because, you know, from a fan standpoint, from everybody's standpoint, you know, we need more of a finality to, you know, that fight because, you know, basically, you know, me personally, I didn't see the fight. But from what I heard, everyone was saying that, you know, Dawson was basically, you know, doing a good job. Now, but we all know that there are a lot of fights in which someone who can be doing a good job for one round, one, two, three, four, five, but then all of a sudden they fall off. Maybe that's what would happen with Bernard and Dawson's case. I don't know. But in a lot of from the vantage point or from the listening point of that I've heard, that Dawson was doing a great job. And, you know, I just hope that they, those two get it together again.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're going to look at the email that I got from the WBC, which is having their big convention the latter part of this year. But let's read it. WBC declares a technical draw and fight Hopkins Dawson. In regards to the championship defense of the light heavyweight WBC World Championship, world champion, let me try it again. In regards to the championship defense of the light heavyweight WBC World Champion between Bernard Hopkins and Tad Dawson held in Los Angeles, California, in which the referee declared a KOTK against champion Hopkins as he could not continue due to an injury after a push by challenger Dawson. The head offices of the WBC sent videos, medical reports, and the WBC corresponding rules to the Board of Governors that unanimously declared a technical draw on the fight. Therefore, Bernard Hopkins is still the WBC light heavyweight champion of the world. The WBC Board of Governors, after reviewing the video of the fight, unanimously declared that the action reflects a clear intentional lifting of the body, followed with a push by Dawson to Hopkins that made him fall on the left side with part of his body out of the ropes. California Hospital Medical Center report was also considered by the board, which states Bernard Hopkins has been released from the California Medical Hospital in Los Angeles after being x-rayed and examined by Dr. Sam Thumber, MD, who diagnosed Hopkins with a separation of the omoplata AC joint, which connects the collarbone and the shoulder blade. The WBC considered that the 29 of the WBC Rule 34 related fouls was violated. Any rough tactics other than clean punches covered the ruling of the WB. So, I mean, they basically given Hopkins his title back, and at the same time, this kind of thing, I mean, you look at what happened with the fight with
Mayweather
and Ortiz, and now this thing follows it. And you said something today, as we talked earlier, and that's what I want to get back to. And you talked about a couple of things that really were just so profound, and people thought was going to be pretty dominant fighter, and it seems like he hasn't gotten any better, and a lot of it seems to be his corner, and we're talking about nobody else than Paul the Punisher Williams, and you said something today, too, that a lot of people said, Harold Weston has said that right now his corner has taken him as far as he can go. He cannot get any better as long as he stays with those people.
You know, I think he has a good corner. It's just that, you know, what you said, that is the way that I feel, and that's the way a lot of people feel, that, you know, that group of people has taken them as far as they can go. Now, if they add someone else in the mix, I'm not saying that he should fire his whole camp. No, because fighters have to have a certain comfort zone. I mean, you can, like let's take Mike Tyson and Kevin Rooney. For years, mm-hmm. everyone said, Mike needs to go back to Kevin Rooney. But their relationship was messed up. So in order for them to, like, truly gel, they have to have a certain sort of camaraderie. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was never going to work. Now, as far as Paul Williams goes, Paul Williams has a certain comfort zone as far as Mr. Peterson and others in his camp. He has that comfort zone to the point where if someone else coming in, you know, are they going to stimulate Paul the way Paul needs to be stimulated? I don't know. But it's a definite that something has to be done. Even if Paul stays with them, the game plan has to change. Paul cannot keep doing the same thing that Paul has already done. It's one of those things of Paul, what got him there, that's what got him there, but that's not going to get him any further. It got him there. He you know,
he's at the dance. They play the music, and now he's got to dance.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Paul Williams is known as a fighter that nobody wanted to fight because of the amount of punches that he throws and so on and so forth, or whatever. But at this point, you know, people have kind of basically figured Paul Williams out. You know what I mean? Some of the things that he was able to do before, he's not able to do now. And without having, like, a game plan, like, there's a lot of fighters that don't have a plan B. There's a lot of fighters that don't have a plan B, and that's
Harold Weston, and you got to judge. Harold Weston would love you, and Harold said that. Harold said, you know, there are a lot of guys who get to a certain spot, and now if a good point is we look at the great Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns, their first fight, where the first part of that fight, Tommy's doing all the boxing. And then the second fight, part of that fight, the first part, Tommy's doing all the stalking, Ray's boxing, and then in the second part of the fight, Tommy's boxing and Ray's stalking, but we're talking about two exemplary fighters, and, you know, two special and gifted fighters. And you're saying something that Harold West and Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul of the channel, Sports in Depth, the show. This is our boxing special with Ron Scott. Just quick half hour, we're going to talk boxing and do some interviews. We got this big fight coming up. And, you know, some guys, today's boxing, Ron, guys seem to have this combination of guys not as talented and being handled by guys who kind of don't have a clue of what the game is about anymore, Ron.
Well, I mean, honestly, you're around the sport, and you've been around the sport for a while, but I think that you can look and see that there are a lot of people in the boxing business that not necessarily in the boxing business per se, like not promoters, not organization heads, nothing like that, but I'm speaking more on lines of like the people who get the information out as far as like reporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know as well as I do, if you have, and this is just from my vantage point, this is not to you know, ruffle any feathers, anything like that, but it's a fact, and that is, if you have 10 boxing writers, you give me the percentage of those boxing writers who definitely knows what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The average one of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
The average one of them don't, and I've experienced it firsthand being, you know, doing championship fights and things along those lines. A lot of boxing writers want to sensationalize things. And they want to make boxing out to be, you know, like if boxing was to die tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
we're going to point the fingers at this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. But no one who points the fingers are willing to point the fingers at themselves. You know what I mean? Boxing.
Yeah, no, you're a tremendous point. We talked earlier, and there was a guy that we spoke about who's in this business, who is completely the exact example of what's wrong with this business. And there were those who thought he had some sort of validation or knowledge in the game. And when it was validated that he had made a statement that was so asinine, and that somebody said, hey, man, you know, I got to pull away. I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind can think that Lennox Lewis is the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. I mean, I can understand that if they lived on an island somewhere, or if there never existed a Muhammad Ali, or there never existed a Vander Holyfield, or a Joe Louis, or Larry Holmes, or Mike Tyson, or George Foreman, but to come up with that sort of
opinion. That's an asinine statement or whatever to even say that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know what I mean?
True.
And in this eye, you know.
But Rob, 2-2 is always 4. Two and two is always four,
and definitely, and there's certain people that their vision is definitely blurry. They need to go get contact or something. And in this case, he definitely needs to get contact. I mean, to say that Lennox Lewis, don't get me wrong, Lennox Lewis was a good champion. He was a great champion,
if you want
to use the great word.
Right.
But to say that this man said that Lennox Lewis was the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. From that point, honestly, for him mm-hmm. to say that means that he kind of forfeited his take on anything in the future because
he lost any credibility. In fact, and we're going to mention, but the great Tim Smith had told me 3-4 years ago that after conversating with this gentleman, that he no longer conversates with him about boxing. He told me, he said, Doc, I don't even talk about boxing anymore. Now, there's nothing to talk about. I mean, and that's about mine. We've got a fight here coming up Saturday. And it's just a sensational fight. Two small guys, two outstanding champions. We got the guy for the Philippines, Danilo Donaire, 26-1, 18 knockouts. But, man, you know, Rob, the guy he's fighting, 35-0, 19 KOs, a two-time world champion from Argentina, Omar Navarez. This seems to be the kind of fight that the fight fan really is going to like.
Well, going into the fight, you know, I know that there are a lot of people who are on a as far as boxing go, you have believers and you have bandwagon riders. And, you know, Nonito Donaire, who I told you earlier, I think he's the truth. But there are a lot of people who are on Nonito Donaire's, you know, bandwagon because of, you know, his knockouts or whatever and so on and so forth, and thinking that he's going to go there and do that to everybody that he fights. This fight has the workings of the fight that we saw not too long ago, a few weeks back, with Sergio Martinez and Darren Barker. Darren Barker, after that fight, people were saying that, you know, Sergio Martinez, if he was in there with an elite fighter, Sergio Martinez would have been knocked out. I really don't follow that thought pattern. I don't think that Sergio would have been knocked out. I just think that guy, Darren Barker, was better than what we depicted him to be. And in this case, Nonito Donaire is the heads above favorite. But at the same time, are we taking his opponent too lightly? I mean, you know, and you know how boxing
he is.
Once you start going down, or once you look bad or whatever, people start you know, nitpicking at you and saying, basically, boxing is a game that when you're winning and you're knocking people out, they want to give you mad credit. But once you start losing or you look vulnerable, or whatever, it's like, he should retire, or he's not as good as we thought he was. But then again, I think he is as good as we thought he was. It's, I mean, you could think back. You know the Ali's. You know the Ray Robinsons. They had good days and they had bad days. They had good days and they had bad days.
But the bottom line is that great line that Georgie Benton, who we just lost recently, and once again we're sending out to sympathy and get well wishes to both him and the late Butch Lewis. But you know, Benton used to tell his fighters, you know, look good the next fight, just win tonight. So, you know, a bad night with a W is not a bad night. So, and there's so many cases. And Marion Borkin always said, you know, the true greatness of a fighter isn't really validated until he loses, until he hits the canvas. You know, what does he do after the O does go?
Yeah. And a lot of fighters don't have that ability. I mean, they you know, in order to be a good winner, you got to be a good loser. You know what I mean? And by being a good loser, it that in itself makes you live to see another day. Where if you take that loss badly, whether you're sulking about it or whether you just lose confidence or whatever, but basically, if you have a negative reaction to it, then basically you might as well just hang up the glove. But if you look at it as, you know, getting back on the horse, then you can have a future. There's the many of the greats. Like I said, they've had Ali, Ray Robinson, all of them, they've lost. But they showed their championship heart by coming back and looking even better when they came back.
It's what Marion Boykin said, and it's a great line by the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King. The true measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of trial and controversy. Robert, we're going to listen to Donaire, who seems to have a great sense of history about the game and how elated he is about fighting the Madison Square Garden. The 26-1-18-0, the pride of the Philippines, along with Manny Pacquiao, Domito the Net.
It's a great honor and a pleasure to be fighting here at Madison Square Garden. I've heard, you know, the names that have gone through Madison Square Garden.
Muhammad Ali.
The greatest fighters in any era will fight in Madison Square Garden. And for me, to be fighting in Madison Square Garden, that's an honor, that's a pleasure, to be part of that history. I hope everything goes well Saturday night for me, and I hope to be back some other time and hopefully headlining the cards in the future.
Special card that Saturday, and it gets a chance for you to showcase yourself in a really good arena and a very good property.
Yeah, this show would be great. It shows Nonito Donaire defending his world title against Omar Narvaez. That's a great fight in itself, and to be able to fight in that undercard, you know, that's also a pleasure for me to be fighting in that undercard, and it gives me an opportunity to show the world and show the people here in attendance what I have to offer in the sport of boxing. And like I said, I hope, you know, people are pleased with my performance, and hopefully I get invited to come back and be part of this again.
my area. That's Mikey Garcia, who's going to be on the card. You said something, Rob, that was just so profound, and you talked about the Mayweather situation, and you talked about how it seems that nothing he does satisfies certain people, and yet you said so much of this forthcoming Pacquiao Mayweather fight is a situation that is not so much Mayweather as right now a lot of the holdup has been something that you said is bigger than boxing. Talk about that, Rob.
Well, my take on it is, you know, I personally agree in both of them. I think that, you know, when you speak about Mayweather and Pacquiao, you know, the lines are drawn. Either you're a Mayweather fan or you're a Pacquiao fan. And when you're a Mayweather fan, oh, Mayweather's just going to go in there and kill him. Pacquiao is just going to go in there and kill him. But both these guys have what it takes to beat the other man. But I just feel like, you know, when we were discussing earlier about the whole drug testing thing. And my thing is, can you imagine if Pacquiao were to test positive for anything? I think that the repercussions to that would be incredible as far as boxing. And I said this to you earlier. When you speak about Antonio Margarito and the loaded gloves and so on and so forth, whether it's true or not, that was a black eye to,
you know,
Antonio
no matter
Margarito.
What Mayweather does, win, lose, or draw, in some circles, he always loses. In the situation, Zab Judah lost to Valdemir, and he in turn gave Zab a break, still fought him. People said he didn't fight the true champion. He fought Valdemir, and then...
But that's the fight that they asked for.
Upcoming fight here at Madison Square Garden this coming Saturday. The Filipino Cessation, the Denuto Donaire against Omar Navez, and it is scheduled to be a bond burner. The Bantamweight World Championship, he's from General Santos City, Philippines, 26-1 with 18 KOs. And, okay, I think we got Rob back here. Okay. And okay, Rob, we got you back. I don't know what happened there. Cut you up. And you know, it's like I said, it's a situation that with, and I close it with Mayweather, and you said that too, it's that no matter what he does, it doesn't seem to be enough. But you talked about something else too. You talked about a persona that he has betrayed, that he has to realize that he has to do that 24/7. He can't be the bad guy. He can't be the guy in the white horse. He has to be Money Mayweather 24/7.
Well, I would hope that he didn't want to be Money Mayweather 24/7 because,
okay,
you know, I understand that Money Mayweather leaves a bit to be desired, but at the same time, you know, it's one of those things of, you know, like I said earlier, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. When he created the Money Mayweather persona, of course he's going to get a few people disliking him. But when he steps out in the street and all of a sudden somebody dislikes him, you know.
Talking about the persona that he has to keep, and it's really not the one that he should have. But maybe, Rob, maybe he's stuck with it.
Well, at this point, yeah. I mean, because society doesn't know Mayweather personally.
And he
feels that, and it's just that, you know, you don't know me personally, so don't judge me. But they're only going by the persona that you push out.
That you portray. That you portray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you portray that, you know, like I said, that's something you got to eat. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to dish it out. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, speaking very, you know, firsthandly, Mayweather. That is a character. Money, that is a character. The real Mayweather, he's a nice guy. Manny Pacquiao is a very nice guy. But people have these lines drawn that, you know, Mayweather is this guy that we love to hate. You know, Manny
the
is
villain.
This guy.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. You know what I mean? But I even put Manny in the bad guy category from a Mayweather fan standpoint. Because the Mayweather fans will talk just as negatively about Manny as...
As this fans will talk about Mayweather.
Yeah, you know, he's but bottom line is both of these guys, you know, the fight has to happen. Like you asked earlier, do I think that the fight's going to happen? I think the fight's going to happen because, you know, state that's been drawn down. Mayweather had his Victor Ortiz. Now Manny has his Marquez. But after Marquez, who do you want to see Manny fight? Who do you want to see Mayweather fight? At this point, all we want to see is those two getting the ring together.
You brought up a good point. You brought up a point there. We got a minute. You said it right now it's come down to the point that both of these guys are going to be left fighting each other. Got 90 fighting each other. But real quickly, I got 90 seconds left. You said something too. You know, a lot of people when they go against Mayweather, they're not picking the guy they think will win. They're picking the guy that they want to win.
I'll ask the question. Who do you think is going to win? The average person will answer the question, Manny Pacquiao's going to tell him. And I have to ask another question. I didn't ask you who did you want to win. I asked you who did you think was going to win. There's two totally different.
Mike, Rob, thanks a million for being with us, and we're going to have you back again Sunday night, and we just want to appreciate you taking this time and joining us. Doc Stanley, Sports Enough on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel, Sports Enough for the show. Live your life today. We have to stand before God tomorrow. Larry Hardesty, we got to go.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.